The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt. Thursday, July 16th in the year of the plague, 2020. Record cases, numbers of cases across the United States. We're all hoping that the lag time until deaths register demonstrate that we've learned how to cope with the virus, and these end up being where hospitals are reaching capacity in various places. Not deaths, but recoveries. I think we're going to see that. We pray we're going to see that. We won't know until next week. Kurt Schlichter is going to be in for me next week. It's my long summer vacation before the rush. But last night I got the call from MSNBC for a long time. Hey, come on and talk about politics. It was Steve Kornacki who was sitting in the 7 o'clock hour where eventually Joy Reid is going to take up residence. And Steve wanted me to talk about presidential politics. Five polls came out yesterday, all of them bad for the president, right? They were on average down 9.5, but the NBC poll has Biden up 11. The CNBC poll has Biden up 10. The Quinnipiac poll had Biden up 15. The Economist poll had Biden up 9. Rasmussen had Biden up 3. And, of course, the Sunday Express on Sunday, a week back on the 7th, had it tied. You really can't tell, but that was the number one subject of conversation between Steve, Zerlina Maxwell, and myself. Here's the first take I had on it, cut number 16.
Oh, sure. He's down 9.5 in the five polls released today, the average. And I would suggest that you were the one to say to me on the radio, go back and look at Dukakis Bush in 1988. And Michael Dukakis was ahead 17 points on July 22nd, 1988. There are some outliers in his favor as well, like the Sunday Express, which has it tied and Trump winning in the Electoral College. But assume it's 9.5 points down right now. I think yesterday's Rose Garden was the beginning of a campaign that will be sort of relentlessly one-on-one interviews. They do miss the rallies. I think he is hurt by the rallies. But that Rose Garden message, particularly the closing stark contrast between what has happened in Venezuela in the last 20 years and the economic recovery that Trump promises will happen. And the president says, look, I did it once. I can do it again. He's got to continue to make that message in every setting. So he's doing at least one or two one-on-one interviews per day, a lot of them on television, a lot with print reporters. I hope he goes to radio soon. And I think he drives home that message and tries to dominate the airwaves in the way that Bill Clinton used to do in 96. Dole never got ahead of Bill Clinton like this. But I think everyone in the business realizes he's behind.
He is behind. In fact, the president realizes he's behind. He fired his campaign manager yesterday. Not really. Brad Parscale still with the campaign. But Bill Stepien has been promoted. That's Governor Christie's political guy. And he had been the political director at the White House. He's been put in charge for the last 4 months. Cut number 17. We come back around again to the campaign. Here's my point.
Yes, I think so. And in fact, I think that the economy and people's looking forward is going to be so significantly different this time around than it was when George H.W. Bush lost in 92. There was a referendum on an actual recession caused by policy that occurred in the spring of the election year. Here, everybody knows why we have hit the economic wall. And everybody knows we need Moderna or AstraZeneca to come up with a vaccine. Our therapies have to be successful. If the flatten the curve works a second time around in California and the underlying epidemiology comes through to support where the virus spreads and why, and the president can make the persuasive case that the blue-collar boom you just referred to, Steve, that was there in January, is because of his deregulatory efforts and because of his guiding of the economy, he will speak to individual voters in, you know, I think it's a three-state election, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Republicans are trying to put Minnesota and New Hampshire into play. Democrats are trying to put North Carolina and Arizona into play. The Texas stuff is kind of laughable. But I think it maybe it's an eight-state election. But he has to target the voters in those states. And Zerlina may or may not agree with me that there's an opportunity in the African-American community. But I think the president has an opportunity to significantly increase his numbers on the security issue in that community. I think it's so far away from being not just decided, but even not fluid, given the unprecedented nature of this circumstance. Not only social media, not only the coronavirus, not only the economic collapse and the coming rebound, but also the appearance of the Chinese Communist Party as a legitimate global threat on the order of the Soviet Union back in the 1980 election. All bets are off, Steven Zerlina.
That's what I think. I think all bets are off. Anyone who's saying that Biden's 9.5-point average lead, well, you'll hear how I remind people about it. Last cut, number 18 from last night on MSNBC with Steve Kornacki and Zerlina Maxwell. Here's my last take.
He used to be. I think Vice President Biden was a much better candidate 4 years ago than he is now. And Hillary Clinton really was the worst possible nominee to run against Donald Trump. But the vice president's ability on the campaign trail this year is still very much up for grabs. And on the shy Tory, that's the term that we invented when John Major won an upset victory. That's not the model I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Brexit model where Dominic Cummings went out and found 3 million new voters. And I'll tell you, Steve, I grew up 7 miles from Pennsylvania. I don't believe that number today. I talk weekly with Selena Zito on my radio show. Western Pennsylvania is deep red. And Joe Biden and whoever is running it is, whether it's Val Demings or Kamala Harris or whoever it is, they are going to be anti-energy and anti the thing that has brought Pennsylvania back. So I think Pennsylvania is the keystone of those three states. I think Western Pennsylvania is the keystone of the keystone. And I, God forbid, it's down to the Steelers fans, but that's what it looks like to me.
And that's how I left it. That's how it looks like to me. The whole country's future depends on Steelers fans. Doesn't that send a shudder through your back of your neck? Look, the president gave a great speech yesterday. I'm going to start. But first, let's go to the Oval Office spray he gave yesterday. He sent in the Oval taking questions. Cut number one.
While radical left-wing politicians have fought to open borders and welfare for illegal aliens, my administration has fought for safe streets. We want security for our people. We want the rule of law. We want law and order. In the last 3 years, ICE has deported over 16,000 gang members and arrested over 2,000 members of MS-13. Think of those numbers, 16,000 and arrested over 2,000 members of MS-13. We've also deported a lot of the MS-13s out of our country. This week's actions by the Joint Task Force Vulcan is the most recent offense to, this has been a big offensive in my administration's war on foreign gangs, of which we came into this administration and we said, what's going on? We had gangs from countries that you wouldn't believe. More than 20 of the criminals we indicted and arrested in the past 7 days were illegal aliens. Yesterday, for the first time ever, the Eastern District of Virginia, thank you very much, indicted MS-13 leaders on charges of terrorism. So we have the MS-13 leader on charges of terrorism, and that's the first. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr.
We're using
President.
Terrorism, which gives us extra strength. In New York and Nevada, 21 MS-13 members and leaders have been indicted on charges including murder, kidnapping, and drug trafficking. The DOJ has also announced that it will seek the death penalty for a bloodthirsty MS-13 leader responsible for the despicable killing of 7 Americans, including 2 teenage girls.
And then he went on to say this in the Oval Office break, cut number two.
But we have other cities that are out of control. They're like war zones. And if the city isn't going to straighten it out, if local politicians, all in this case, I don't say this for political reasons, they're all Democrats. They're liberal, left-wing Democrats. And it's almost like they think this is going to be this way forever. We're in Chicago. 68 people were shot and 18 died last week. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to put up with that.
That's a law and order message, obviously. Hey, also, the virus is on everyone's mind. I want to remind everyone, go to flattenthefear.com. It's the website put together by our sponsor, the Job Creators Network. And they want everyone to reopen. We got some great productivity numbers in June. People are afraid they're going to fall off in July because of the reclosing of California. They might not. I think there's a lot of that we closed down 100%. We're reopening 75%. Then we're back down to 50%. There's a lag in those numbers. Might show up in August. But I'm hoping that even though we see a lot more virus, we also see a lot fewer deaths per number of viruses as we did in the height of March and April. And therefore, I think the reopening will continue. But if you want to flatten the fear, go there. Flattenthefear.com. Flattenthefear.com, a project of the Job Creators Network that helps you navigate these tumultuous times. More from the President of the United States and a check on markets when we return to this morning's Hugh Hewitt Show. President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Hewitt to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's H-E-W-I-T-T 2, 88022, 88022, to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by the Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Love may still be alive, somewhere, somewhere, where they're down and only dear, 100 steel towns away. But the rhythm of my heart is beating like a drum, with the words I love you rolling off my tongue. No, never will I roam, for I know my precious home, where the ocean meets the sky.
Welcome back, America. To Hewitt. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Let's look at what the market did yesterday, brought to you by Birch Gold. Every morning at this time, I remind you, be diversified, own gold. You can own physical gold if you simply go to HughGold.com and contact Birch Gold. Or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747, and they will get you the information pack. Now, the information pack will not only have their number and how to buy gold, etc., but they will tell you how to roll over your IRA or your 401k, a portion of it. Don't take the entire thing and put it into gold. That's nuts. What is smart is to diversify 10 to 20% of your retirement into rock-solid precious metals that are held apart. They're put into a vault. They're there. Gold this morning is at $1,806. When I first told you about this, it was under $1,400. And I don't know where inflation is going. I know that we're going to have another fiscal package, another huge kick in the butt for the economy is coming. Eventually, inflation comes behind this kind of stimulus. And you begin to see that in the market yesterday. And that's why Birch Gold is out there saying, keep your eye not on high roller stocks. You might want to take a flyer here or there. You might want to be in some spiders. You might want to have equity indexes. But remember, precious metals have been the world's reserve forever. Yesterday, the Dow went up 227 points. The NASDAQ went up 61 points. And the S&P went up 29 points. Now, everything is red this morning, but not that bad abroad. Hong Kong, Japan is down 0.75 points. Hong Kong, which is really hard to read as a proxy for anything because it's the era of repression in Hong Kong, is down 2%. Germany and England are both off about 0.6% this morning. The 10-year Treasury, very low at 0.63%. Yesterday, Amazon, the proxy for the tech sector, the only stock I used to own. I bought some Moderna yesterday. Why? Because I'll tell you why in a second. But they were down $75, and they're at 3,008. Good entry point in Amazon if you want to get back in. Everyone says $4,000, $5,000 stock. I don't know. I'm not a prophet nor the son of the prophet, but I know gold is rock solid. I know you ought to text 47, my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Why did I buy Moderna? I think whoever comes up with a vaccine or vaccines, it can be two or three winners of this thing. AstraZeneca is pretty close, too. Moderna got a 45 out of 45. 45 positive results for 45 patients tested with their vaccine based on RNA, mRNA. And that's the extent of my high school science. I just know it. And it's up in Cambridge. It's an American company. They will benefit from American distribution and American productivity and American push to get that out. And they're running a trial of, I believe, 31,000 people as we speak. Everyone's enrolled. So a month from now, we'll figure it out. We'll know whether it works. And when it comes back in, I think they're going to have a winner. And that's why I bought it. Second stock. I only own two stocks. The rest is mutual funds. I just thought I'm going to bet on the future. I'm going to bet on optimism. And because I'm already diversified, I've already got the gold. And I buy gold usually at the end of every year, and I encourage you to do it if you haven't done it with Birch Gold. They have hundreds and hundreds of great reviews, a Better Business Bureau rating, as high as you can go. Go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com. Back to Donald Trump. So he did a spray in the Oval Office yesterday. Then he's walking out to the White House helicopter, and he gets hit by the fact that Peter Navarro, his charming, eccentric, idiosyncratic advisor on trade, had taken a shot at Tony Fauci in the USA Today yesterday. That's just Peter being Peter. I love Tony Fauci. I think he's a saint. All right, I think he's a saint. And Donald Trump said this, cut number three.
Didn't change for me. Look, they're all on the same team. We're all on the same team, including Dr. Fauci. I have a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci, and we're all in the same team. We want to get rid of this mess that China sent us. So everybody's working on the same line, and we're doing very well. We're doing well in a lot of ways, and our country's coming back very strong. When you look at those job numbers, we've never had job numbers like we have right now. So it's coming back very strong.
Okay.
Well, he made a statement representing himself. He shouldn't be doing that. No, I have a very good relationship with Anthony.
Peter is in the doghouse, I think, this morning, but he's also been right about China from the beginning, so I can't really get too mad at him. Peter Navarro is an old, old friend who I've known for 30 years. Always been a Democrat, but I still get along with him, but he shouldn't have done that, and the president let him know about it. Stay tuned, America. It's a You Do It show.
Imagine that slice of time. Rock and roll was young people's student line. To hear music that played into their lives. That you could carry till the day you die. Hey, man, sing me a song.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. President Trump went down to Atlanta yesterday and gave a speech at the UPS operation there. A lot of which I want you to hear. This is the basic driving campaign message. Cut number four.
Together, we will defeat this virus and emerge stronger than ever before. We're here today to celebrate a historic breakthrough that will transform the lives of workers and families all across our nation. For decades, the single biggest obstacle to building a modern transportation system has been the mountains and mountains of bureaucratic red tape in Washington, D.C. Before I took office, reviews for highways ballooned to an average of nearly 750 pages in length. And they were the good ones. They were the short ones. And I know because I was in business for a long time and I had to go through a process that was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. We went through a process for building buildings. Usually it would take forever. By the time you start building, the market changed. You said, you know, the market was good when we started. Now the market's lousy. So you say, the hell with it. We won't build. Sometimes you start building, you say, that was a mistake. But we went through years and years of litigation and tumult, and it was just not good. But you go through it to an even greater extent. The maze-like approval process represented lobbyists that were very rich. They were making a lot of money. I remember I'd go up to Albany, New York, and I'd see my lobbyists up there. I said, what are you doing here? I knew what they were doing. They were trying to make it more difficult. So you had to hire them for more and more work. Spend millions and millions of dollars for nothing. But too often they caused massive delays on top of everything else. And that way they got their fees over a longer period of time. It's one of the reasons why, for example, the average Atlanta driver spends an incredible 77 hours in traffic during a short period of time. But all of that ends today. We're doing something very dramatic. We just completed an unprecedented, and I don't want to say it's absolutely unprecedented, top-to-bottom overhaul, should have been done years ago, of the infrastructure approval process, this approval process that has cost trillions of dollars over the years for our country and delays like you wouldn't believe. This is a truly historic breakthrough, which means better roads, bridges, tunnels, and highways for every UPS driver and every citizen all across our land. Together, we're reclaiming America's proud heritage as a nation of builders and a nation that can get things done. Because with these horrible roadblocks that were put in front of us, you couldn't get it done. No matter how good you were, you couldn't get it done. You'd wait and wait. You'd go to the next step. You say you can't start the next step until you finish the first.
Donald Trump is talking absolute truth here. He is actually a developer who knows what regulation did, how many jobs it kills. It's the great unsung success story of the administration, the reason that productivity was so high, unemployment down to 3.5% before the virus. And it is the deregulated environment that will allow the snapback. And the Democrats bring with them piles of regulations and millions of regulators. Don't let them back in. Donald Trump continued talking for a moment about the potential for fraud with the mail-in vote. Cut number five.
And watch, please, those mail-in ballots. You're going to watch that for me because, you know, they have a lot of problems all over the country. They just had Paterson, New Jersey, where massive percentages of the vote was a fraud. Mail-in ballots. Be careful. Be careful.
He's also committed to clean air and water. He wants to make people understand deregulation doesn't mean pollution. Cut number six.
At the same time, we'll maintain America's gold standard environmental protections. The United States will continue to have among the very cleanest air and cleanest water on Earth, which we do now. We have the cleanest that we've ever had, meaning ever.
And Donald Trump went on to talk about, if you want energy and you want the jobs that go with energy production, you can't elect Joe Biden because AOC comes along with that package. Cut number seven.
Great job. We want the United States to compete and win in the 21st century. And that means we will not allow our nation to be hamstrung by wasteful Washington regulations. We're the nation that built the Golden Gate Bridge in 4 years, the Hoover Dam in 5 years. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it's so true. We built the Empire State Building in less than a year. Can you imagine that? The Biden administration, our past vice president, opposes, think of this, all of our permitting reforms and wants to increase the length of the permitting process. Think of this. This is in his Bernie Sanders deal. Biden is happy to tie up projects in red tape, and we want to get things built. But they want to increase the length. So they want to increase it from that to much longer. Unbelievable. Biden wants to massively re-regulate the energy economy, rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which would kill our energy totally. And you'd have to close 25% of your businesses and kill oil and gas development. They still haven't explained what they're going to do to power our great plants and factories. But at some point, I'm sure they will. We'll learn that from AOC, who's in charge of energy. She's in charge, along with Bernie. It's AOC and Bernie are in charge of energy. I don't think Texas is too happy about that. What do you think? You think we'll call up the governor? Governor Abbott, great governor, will ask, how do you like that, governor? I didn't want to waste the phone call because I would know how he felt. And Biden wants to hold hostage billions in federal surface transportation grants for states and localities, unless the states and local suburban communities abolish single-family zoning rules. So they want low-income housing to be built in communities that, frankly, they don't want it. They don't want it. Has it worked out? And we're terminating that. As you know, I announced it 2 weeks ago. We're going to be eliminating that rule. It's a crazy rule, and it's very unfair to a lot of people. A lot of people are very unhappy. It should not take 10 years or more just to get approval for a simple stretch of road. Special interests in Washington will never begin They will never begin to let you breathe. They will never. That's not their business. Their business is the opposite.
Bureaucracies create obstacles so they can justify their being there to clear away the obstacle. You think about a new business, it has to run an obstacle course to open. Any business that wants to expand has to run an obstacle course. Donald Trump and his administration has removed thousands of those obstacles. And Joe Biden, of course, will put them back. That's what the Democrats do. Donald Trump reminded people about that cut number 14.
We want the United States to compete and win in the 21st century. And that means we will not allow our nation to be hamstrung by wasteful Washington regulations. We're the nation that built the Golden Gate Bridge in 4 years, the Hoover Dam in 5 years. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it's so true. We built the Empire State Building in less than a year. Can you imagine that? The Biden administration, our past vice president, opposes, think of this, all of our permitting reforms and wants to increase the length of the permitting process. Think of this. This is in his Bernie Sanders deal. Biden is happy to tie up projects in red tape, and we want to get things built. But they want to increase the length, so they want to increase it from that to much longer.
He's hitting stride here, which is to focus people on the recovery, which is already underway. But what will happen if Biden is elected? It'll end. The regulators will come back. Those thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of regulations will come back. He finally also pointed out Joe Biden doesn't really have the interest of the suburbs in heart. Cut number 15.
And Biden wants to hold hostage billions in federal surface transportation grants for states and localities unless the states and local suburban communities abolish single-family zoning rules. So they want low-income housing to be built in communities that, frankly, they don't want it. They don't want it. Has it worked out? And we're terminating it. As you know, I announced it 2 weeks ago. We're going to be eliminating that rule. It's a crazy rule, and it's very unfair to a lot of people. A lot of people are very unhappy.
And look, if common sense prevails for another 4 years in the bureaucratic structure, not just the White House, but I mean all over the government, Department of Transportation, the HHS, of course, over at EPA, the growth will continue. It will be back. Joe Biden, though, made a basement tape yesterday, cut number 8, talking about the good old days.
We're no closer president and vice president than Barack Obama and me because we shared the same philosophy and we could argue like hell with each other in profit.
In profit. He meant private. All right, just another slip. Cut number 9, another slip. Joe Biden.
We're joined now by former vice president and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Good to see you, sir. And look, Arizona is very much in play in 2020. So we appreciate you taking some time to talk to the people of our state.
Oh, it's an important city. You guys are going through hell right now, aren't you?
It's an important city. The host says it's an important state. And Joe Biden says it's an important city. You guys have gone through hell, haven't you? They got a lot of cases in Arizona, by the way. They also got a great governor in Doug Ducey. They're being managed as best they can. Same thing that happened in New York with many fewer deaths. New York and New Jersey remain the killing fields of the virus. California's going to catch up. I don't think Arizona's going to catch up. Hey, let me take a break and tell you about the Wild Adventure. TWA.US, the men's ministry that exists up on the Madison River. If you've been watching Yellowstone, you say, I'd love to go there. Well, you can. Go to TWA.US. They may have a vacancy or two this year. Someone may have canceled. But a lot of people sign up this year for next year. They say, I'm going to go. They watch Yellowstone. They say, I want to go. I want to go with like-minded people. It's not a retreat. It's not that kind of a deal. It's for men who are of any sort, age, up and outers, people who are 50 and just thinking about retirement, 30-year-olds and younger, 40-year-olds and younger. It's a great. Here's a testimony by Larry Acola about his time at the Madison River at the Wild Adventure.
Hey, so I'm standing here talking to
Larry Acosta.
Where are you from, Larry?
From Southern California. I live in Santa Ana, California.
And where are you right now?
Right now, I am here at the Wild Adventure Camp in Montana and just had the best week of my life.
Really?
Yeah, phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah,
somebody pay you to say that?
No, it was a great week, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's no joke up here. It's.
Did you have any idea what it was going to be like?
No, I knew there'd be good conversations. I knew there'd be special times. I'd never fly fish, so I knew just being in this beautiful country. I knew I'd have a special week, but I had no idea the power of mixing the beauty of nature and then the incredible ranch and then the powerful conversations. When you put it all together, it's like a
beautiful thing. Good?
Yeah, it was an epic week. So
really?
Super grateful.
Well, that's something. So I was in an organization that measured everything by take-home value.
Yeah.
So what was the big take-home piece for you?
I think for me, the take-home is just to be way more intentional about the husband I need to be, but also the intentional dad that I need to be. As we talked about healing through our own father wound, I realize there's so much intentionality that I need to put into play at home so that my kids hopefully leave with a lot smaller wound than I came into the marriage and family with. So that's going to take a lot of intentionality, a lot of honest conversations with my kids just to make sure we're unpacking stuff.
So. Well, great. It was great to have you up here, man.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Right. Larry Acasa from California. The Wild Adventure, TWA.us, fly fishing, food, friendship, just a wonderful time. I'll be right back with Michael Oren. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. A glimpse of our future is in China today. The world's second largest economy contracted by 6.8% in the first quarter as the virus rampaged through it. It had anticipated a 2.4% expansion in the second quarter, but it hit 3.2% in April and June. And I think you're going to see the same sort of thing here in the United States, up and down twice, but two Vs. And that's going to be the story. Michael Oren has postponed his hit until the third hour. He's in a place with bad reception in Israel, so we'll talk with him then. This gives me a chance to call your attention over at the landing page at the Washington Post. That's the front page. You go to WashingtonPost.com, upper right-hand corner. You're going to see my new op-ed on Barry Weiss. It reads, "Those of us blessed with freedom to learn are all, every one of us, in a bubble of our own making. It can be broad and diverse, created from all kinds of information sources, but it's still a bubble." Which is why opinion pages and books matter so much. They serve to expand your bubbles. Columns can nudge us towards new ideas and broader perspectives, but it's a book that punches out the bubble and really expands the mind. The resignation this week of columnist Barry Weiss from the opinion section of the New York Times came in the form of a scalding letter to the Times publisher that will burn only those who allow it inside their bubbles. What she wrote does not devalue the work of people like Nick Kristof or Brett Stevens, a few others on those pages. But the Weiss letter, combined with the absurd hysteria surrounding the op-ed last month by Senator Tom Cotton, well, the paper's crisis, its shrinking bubble, is fully revealed. The limited worldview inside the New York Times that Weiss described will asphyxiate everyone left behind and poison those for whom the New York Times is their only source of intellectual nourishment. I see that as relentless as the bubble that always captured Patrick McGowan in the late 1960s British television show The Prisoner, if any of you ever saw that. He could never outrun this. He was number six. He could never get away. It's a real-world counterpart in confirmation bias, and confirmation bias is consuming the New York Times opinion pages. The closing of the American left's mind has advanced far beyond the condition Alan Bloom described in his bestseller, The Closing of the American Mind, in 1987. It's true on the right as well. It's not just a left-wing problem. It's true on the far right, especially. Intellectual curiosity about worlds and worldviews other than our own is at a low ebb in the country. So I opine at the Post, seek out bubble breakers. Are you President Trump's supporter who wants to run into an argument that you cannot dismiss or treat with reflexive contempt? Then pick up Eddie Glaude Jr.'s new book, Begin Again, James Baldwin's America and its Urgent Lessons for Our Own. If you're a listener, you heard. My enthusiasm for Glaude's book came through in my interview with him this week. It's not because we agree about the president, we do not, but because Eddie's work obliged me to respond. It expanded my bubble. It helps, of course, that Glaude's an elegant writer and a superb scholar. But the power of the book is in its ability to teach a willing reader about the experience of Black America in the years since Baldwin began writing in the late 40s. It's stunning, actually, to anyone who's lived overwhelmingly in an Anglo world as I have. The left needs to make its journeys as well. I read a lot about my own religious faith, Christianity, and especially Roman Catholicism. One of Catholicism's greatest explainers today is George Weigel. You heard him on the show yesterday. His new book, The Next Pope, may have the same impact on a reader who knows nothing about Catholicism as Cloud's book did on me. Point being, this column, the one I'm reading to you, that's up at the Washington Post right now, just pointed you to two very different, very deep wells from which a serious person should want to drink. If the online sources you are reading or the cable news channels you are watching don't surprise or at least nudge you, they are failing you. Bubbles aren't bad. They often suggest deep learning and lifelong commitment, but not when the subject matter is politics. As the late Charles Krauthammer wrote, politics is sovereign. Charles was correct, and politics cannot be conducted with blinkers firmly affixed. Now, that column has already generated 750 comments, and it's full of the trolls and the people say you're a hack, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't read the – I thought maybe they wouldn't do what they normally do because it confirms the point of the column. Here I am praising Eddie Gloud and open your mind up, go far afield, find thing. And they can't get out of their trap. That's the left. That's what drove Barry Weiss away. Well, doesn't bother me. I mean, you don't need a thick skin. You just have to laugh at these trolls. Don't feed the trolls. Laugh at the trolls. And I do believe, though, that the left got to scare a voter. You've got to be scared of the mind control and the propaganda they will pump out through the government and their re-regulation of the government, which Trump was talking about yesterday. The president deregulated the economy. It took off. China killed it. It's taken off a second time because all the obstacles are down to innovation. If Moderna gets that vaccine trial, I expect it's going to be because the president reformed the FDA. All right. If we get the approvals that they need in record time, and it looks like they're moving at the speed of sound for a vaccine. I mean, gosh, it's faster than anything I've seen in my life. It's all because of deregulation. Your future, the future of your children, depends upon keeping this regulatory environment that Trump has created through his appointees. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Go out and get people. Talk to people about Trump and the fact you want your jobs. You want your kids to have jobs. Come back for hour two of the You Hewitt Show.